the word radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
We are the tribe that they cannot see. We live on an industrial reservation. We are the Halusa Nation. We have been called the Indians. We have been called Native American. We have been called hostile. We have been called pagan. We have been called militant. We have been called many names. We are the Halusa Nation. We are the human beings. The callers of names cannot see us, but we can see them. We are the Halusa Nation. Our DNA is of earth and sky. Our DNA is of past and future. We are the Halusa Nation. We are the evolution, the continuation. The Halusa Nation. The Halusa Nation. We are the Halusa Nation.
You're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. Welcome to Unceded Airways, hosted by the Indigenous Collective here at CITR. If you're unsure from whose territory you may be listening to my voice, I recommend nativeland.ca, which can be found at native-land.ca. Take some time to reflect on your relationship with the lands you are held by, its caretakers, citizens, and the responsibilities that you deem yourself to have. Are you taking care of the place that nourishes you? Today on CITR, we are talking about Indigenous social media and artistry. I am joined today by Faith Fontrache, an Indigenous student and artist. Hey, Faith, it's so nice to have you on the radio with me today. Would you mind introducing yourself to the listeners, perhaps your name, pronouns, and whatever else feels right to you?
Yeah, Tan Shikia, Faith Dishnakashin. Hello, everyone. My name is Faith Vaughn Trache. I'm a Métis student here at UBC studying psychology, and I go by she, her pronouns. Yeah.
Sweet. So today we're going to be talking about your beadwork.
Let's go. Okay, that sounds
She's awesome. Already sitting across me wearing beautiful strawberry beaded earrings. I'm assuming you made them yourself. Yes. When and where did you learn how to bead?
That is a funny story. I got taught by my godmom, my auntie Alma, and she is from Skatin or Skutinchuk Nation. I've seen beadwork my whole life. My mom's a beader, but she's really bad at beading. really bad. Like, I love her to bits, but...
if your mom is listening, I have no opinion.
I'll show you one. I'll show her a robot little earring.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
The robot.
I actually keep it on my desk to get a good little laugh.
A little motivation. You'd be like, look at us. Look where we've started from.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't know. I went to visit my auntie in Lillooet one day, and she sat me down and she was like, Faith, you're going to learn how to bead today, and that's it. And so I sat down with her and my mom. I made like this really ugly barrette.
Like for your hair?
For my hair. But the most magical moment, I think, for me that really like hit it, like when I was like, I'm going to be a beater. I'm going to like obsess over this for the rest of my life, was there was a beading later, beading lady. What did I say later? A beading lady. And my family, we just went to her house, and in front of her house was like this trailer. And I went inside this trailer, and there was beadwork all over the walls. Whoa. There was regalia. There was beading supplies. There was just everything you can imagine in one place. Just, oh, it was so magical and so beautiful.
My goodness. I can't even imagine, like, walking into that kind of space and having all, like, not only the materials, but the finished work. And you're like, whoa, this is a powerful space.
Yes. And you're just like, I need all of this, but I'm poor. it was good. Like, she was also married to my mom's cousin, so I guess, like, my great cousin?
Okay.
Yeah, so it was, like, we also found family going there, too, so.
Some connections.
Yeah, like, we sat outside, my mom had a good old conversation, talking with everyone, and, yeah, so I have, like, a really great, I don't know, and also, okay, one thing. Mm-hmm. My auntie, so, if you're a beater, you know that you usually use pellen when mm-hmm. you bead. My auntie does not use pellen.
Oh.
She used dinner mats from the dollar store.
Really?
Yeah. And so I learned how to bead on that, and I thought that was like
the A1.
Yeah, like that was how you did it. But I went to like my first beading circle, and an elder was just like, what
are you doing? That's actually hilarious. Like, even like in my generation, I find like stiffened felt is really popular. But when I learned how to bead, we didn't have stiffened felt. We just had regular felt, that floppy, like, craft material. And my grandma would just hand that to me and say, okay, you can bead if you want to. Like, will I bead? Do you know how hard it is to bead on that? When it's, like, flopping around, like, your tension has to make sense. Like, when you're, like, 8, your fingers don't work to hold it properly.
Damn, yeah, no, I can imagine.
And then there's my grandma who learned how to bead on moose hide. And I'm like, that's hard to bead through. That's thick.
I actually was beading, so there's this Métis thing called a fire bag.
Okay.
Or like the octopus bag.
Oh, yes. Okay.
They're like that really bougie.
Like a cross-shoulder, a cross-body bag. They have like all these little like tentacles, hence the octopus name, that like all the sticks and different things would go into, right?
Yeah. So I was actually reading up on that. It was a fashion statement in the Red River Settlement. And when you got married to somebody, you would gift your partner an octopus bag, and they would wear that like at all times.
Oh, wow. Like, instead of like a wedding, like, kind of like a wedding ring kind of vibe. Like, yeah. That's the best wedding gift, honestly. Like, imagine, like, I just got married to a beautiful indigenous woman, and she made me this beautiful octopus bag for all my kindling. I'm the talk of the town walking down the street.
This is very beautiful. But I've been trying to like bead through the hide, and mm-hmm. I have to be honest, like, you can see my finger here.
Yeah,
like,
you got some calluses coming in. when the needle goes back into your finger instead of through your finger. Oh, there's so many different ways to get poked by a needle.
Yeah, it's like your beater warrior wounds, I guess.
Oh, yeah. See, like, I think my grandma like full on takes a small piece of hide and like turns it to a thimble to help push things through, not only on her thumb, but like on her pointer finger or her ring finger. So, like, if you have, like, those, like, little stiff pieces from the edges, because, you know, sometimes hide does that when you tan it,
yeah,
that's really useful for that kind of thing.
Tan, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, so tips of the trade.
I'll definitely try that out.
So, like, since learning how to bead, did you ever, like, join any, like, beading circles and, like, in, like, more, like, away from family spaces? Because you're a student here at UBC, mm-hmm. So I'm assuming you're, like, kind of in the weird space of, like, I didn't grow up here, but I can still find community here. Do you ever find like beading is a source for that?
I have a weird relationship. So like at first I started going to beading circles like here at UBC.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have the beading circle
Is it through the ILC, the Indigenous Leadership Collective?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went to that at the beginning of last year. But because, you know, COVID and the weirdness, I found myself going on TikTok a lot.
Yeah.
And I usually do lives or I go live with, like, other, like, beaters. And we just be together and chat with one another on TikTok. And, like, I really enjoy that.
I am absolutely fascinated with the Indigenous side of TikTok. I actually had to delete TikTok this summer because I would endlessly scroll through it, even not at school. So I was like, okay, I'm going into my fourth year. I need to not be on my phone 12 hours of my day. It wasn't that bad. It was more like 8.5 hours a day, but it was still a lot. And like Indigenous TikTok is like not only like so smart. Think of like language revitalization. You can hear someone. You can see them speaking. You see a context the language can be used in. And even think of things like beading and artistry, you can see people creating the artwork, they can market, they can also like teach people like tutorials of how to do certain things.
Yeah.
Like I definitely got the idea of like using stiffened felt and penicillin from like the Indigenous side of TikTok.
No, that's totally fair. There's a Brienne Days. She does all those like tutorials.
Yeah, and it's like so like comprehensive. It's also so calming when you come across the ones that there's like nice music in the background and they just like sped up like beading videos. God knows I can never bead that fast. No one could. But it's just so calming to kind of see the project come together in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, 100%. I definitely spend a lot of my time watching so many creators. I'm not gonna lie. And I do some videos as well doing that. I don't know. I always film my process, but yeah, I don't know. I'm an addict of TikTok. It's too much, you know.
You know, everyone's like actively engaging with social media. Even if you're just scrolling and you're not creating content, you're still like dictating the algorithm. So I always make sure to like and like share Indigenous content. Even on Instagram, because that's like my main social media now. I'm just like, ooh, go to my little like For You page on Instagram. It's all beadwork and earrings. And then I spend money on beadwork and earrings.
Yep.
Which isn't a bad thing. It could be worse.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I always do trades and whatnot whenever I come across other artists. If they're down for it, I also buy, you know. But yeah.
It's honestly such a delight, even just like coming into like a beading circle with people from all over the place and seeing like their styles, their color choices, like even like the way that they bead, everyone does it differently.
Yeah.
But if you go to an elder though, they're like, you're doing it wrong. Let me show you. And then they show you like their way of doing it. And you're like, oh, this is kind of efficient. This is kind of nice.
You know, it's funny we're talking about this because I did a live yesterday and I had all these people and we're talking about different techniques. And someone saw the way I was doing it. So I got taught by Elder Denise a different method, which is the two-stitch method.
Okay.
Where you grab, you only tack on two beads and you keep going through them.
Is that the kind where you tack down two and you go up through them, go through the last one and then like tack two?
Yeah.
Okay, single needle beading. Okay, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, so I've been doing that for so long, but other people are like, oh, you have to do the two, like
the two needle method. Yeah, where you have one string with all your beads and one that tacks down in between every single one.
Yeah.
So were you like finally like, being called up being like, hey, do this one instead?
I don't know, one of the people in the live, they're like, my elder would scold you.
Oh yeah, I definitely experienced that. I went to a moose hide tanning camp in the spring up in Yellowknife at I can't remember the river's name at the moment, but it was by the Yellowknife River, and we not only tanned moose hides for 3 weeks, but we also got to like beading circles and painting and like other expressive art, and sitting around some elders from all over like Denendé, all over the north. And they were like, And I was doing single needle beading because I was like, this is what my friend showed me how to do. I grew up doing two needle, but I found it took so long.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm not practiced enough. Because some of those elders can really whip up a pair of like uppers for moccasins in like a day. And I'm like, I bow down to you. But one elder full on looked at me and was watching me for like 10 minutes. And I was like, can I help you? And she's like, no, I'm just watching. And then afterwards, she kind of goes, cracks her knuckles. And she's like, okay, I'm going to show you how to do your beading better. You're going to save more thread. If I was your grandmother, I'd scold you for using so much thread. And I sat there and I was like, my grandma does scold me for using too much thread. She's like, I thought so. Here, I'll show you the methods. And even for like single needle beading, she's like, just tie your knots off and keep going all the time. So like, if this is what your preferred method is, even if like, you know, small projects, you're traveling or whatnot, she's like, I understand. Keep your methods. but you gotta like be smarter about how much material you're using. And I was like, whoa, I survived, but okay, cool, thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Like, honestly, like, they're ready to give the knowledge, but sometimes the knowledge is not like in a nice little bow wrapped on a plate for you. It's more so like, you're doing it wrong. Do it this way. And you're like, oh, this is a new method. Cool.
Oh my gosh. I actually like started learning how to do some ribbon skirts.
Oh yeah?
And actually the Vancouver Aboriginal Health Society, they do these workshops Monday to Friday. And on Thursdays, they have a thing called Textile Thursdays.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds so diverse because textile means so many things.
Oh, they show you, like, usually each week is, like, a different theme, like, either a sweat lodge dress.
Okay. Okay, like sweat lodge regalia kind of vibe. Okay.
Yeah. So they teach you everything. But the first time I went in with my mom. And the elder, she was, like, teaching me how to sew. And, you know, you put on the ribbons. I didn't do the ribbons properly.
Oh.
So she grabs, you know, like the...
The seam ripper?
Yeah, so she goes and rips all my stuff out.
Cool. Just brutal.
She just is like, do it again.
You'll never learn if you don't do it again. And you're... I bet, like, sometimes you're like, oh, I'll just leave it. No, you gotta restart.
Yeah.
It makes me think of, like... Some generations of, like, Indigenous women, a main form of, like, subsistence is beadwork or, like, some sort of textile art that you were making things not for, like, a family member but to support your family, you know?
Yeah.
But even if you're making it for your family member, you want to make it look pimp Mac Daddy. Like, when your new husband walks down the street, you want everyone to know that's your husband because that's your beadwork.
Oh, my God. I love that, actually.
That's my man right there. But then, like... Thinking about how, like, precise some of the beadwork can be and how, like, beautiful but, like, intense you see, like, whoa, you flip it over and all the lines and all the, like, the thread are just so precisely, like, in line and short and tight. And you're like,
how do you do that?
How do you do that? And they pump out all, like, these beautiful pieces of art and they sell them and they're making, like, hella bank, as they should.
Yeah.
Like, people should be charging, like, exorbitant amount of money for their work because I'm like... So many hours go into that, so much thought, like, just the amount of patience itself. Ugh, I don't know how many people can do that now.
That's totally a vibe. I always see, like, I do sell some of my beadwork,
mm-hmm.
but it's only, like, when I have time. I'm a student, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I always think, like, I'm making... you know, beautiful artwork for others to be proud of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, it always warms my heart when people, like, send me photos of them wearing their, like, their beadwork. I actually had this one girl, she bought some, what are they called? Monarch butterflies from me.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and she made her whole, like, Halloween costume monarch.
Whoa.
And she sent me that photo, and I was like, yo.
Decolonizing Halloween.
It was so beautiful. Like, I don't know. But, yeah.
It hits different. Do you have any, like, opinions on, like, when you gift beaded earrings to, like, non-Indigenous friends and when they're wearing them around?
Ooh, spicy.
See, it's kind of spicy, but it's also something I find very common, especially when we're like, yeah, like, we promote Indigenous businesses, we promote specifically Indigenous-made beadwork.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay? Like, do you find, like, there's any, like, boundaries you draw when it comes to, like, non-Indigenous folks purchasing and wearing it or just being gifted it and wearing it?
I always think, like, tribal or culturally based beadwork, like, if you're doing florals or something for your regalia or powwow, that mm-hmm. is strictly Indigenous.
Yeah.
But if it's, like, contemporary, like, little watermelons or, like, strawberries, I think it's fine. Like, people are coming in, they're supporting you. I have beaded some to my non-Indigenous friends, and they show up, they're so proud wearing mm-hmm. it. So I think that's my take, just not, like, tribal-based kind of culturally
yeah, things. I can agree with that, because there are moments where, like, you're like, that's a little too much of, like, ours, but there is a good point of being like, yeah, like, this is a piece of art that I've made that is intended to be worn by someone that's going to wear it with pride,
yeah.
And as long as you credit the artist and you're aware of, like, what, like, everything that surrounds that artwork, when you wear it out into the world, I think there's nothing wrong with it. Because
yeah.
it's, a, you know, appreciation over appropriation. Appreciation is always the goal.
That's true. as long as you're buying it from an Indigenous artist, you know, we see, like, the Native-inspired.
Yeah, it's a little sus sometimes. I'm like, you can definitely, like, you know, try out different craft and different artwork forms, but do you have to take that much inspiration to the point of, like, looking almost the exact same as, like, the Indigenous artwork that's been around for a hot minute?
Yeah.
Or even, like, contemporary artwork, like... You see, like, the beautiful strawberries and watermelons, and people are like, that's not traditional. And I'm like, so?
You know what? What about the creation, like, the Ojibwe strawberry creation story?
Exactly. Like... And it's like, I think Indigenous artwork is Indigenous artwork if it's made by an Indigenous person.
That's true.
You know? Like, but there's also, like, the line of, like, oh, is painting Indigenous artwork? Well, of course it is. Did an Indigenous person paint it?
That's true.
See, I have some thoughts on this, but also I'm just like, everyone identifies as they identify. And I think a big thing is, like, being self-aware and, like, reflective of, like, your actions and what you're putting out into the world.
Mm.
Like, if you're going to wear an Indigenous artist's earrings and you're not Indigenous, you might want to make sure you're a good ally and you're standing up and showing solidarity for those folks.
Mm.
You know, especially when it matters the most and things. It's like, yeah, I support the business, but you can also do a little bit more.
That's true. Like, uplifting Indigenous voices.
Yeah. And even just supporting other forms of, like, Indigenous artwork and media, or even just checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, part of my thing here at Unceded Airwaves is I'm playing as much Indigenous, like, origin music as I can find, a lot of it being contemporary and northern, just because I'm like, yo, check it out a little bit. It's kind of vibey.
Yes. I love that.
And do you think, like, practicing, like, beading and other artwork, like, it contributes to your wellness overall?
Oh my God, 100%.
Yeah.
Hands down. Like, I always say that beading is healing.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, the greatest conversations come out when you're beading with one another, you're chatting, you know? Like, I can't even imagine. I bead every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Like, first thing in the morning?
Maybe not first day. Like, maybe nighttime, you know?
Okay. It's like after your schoolwork, after your busy, hectic day, and you get home and you're like, finally. I can do what I want to be doing.
Exactly.
And you, like, sit right down. Do you have, like, a whole beading station set up at home?
Oh, my. It's chaos, though. Like, I don't know how to, like, make it all nice. Like, I'll clean it one day. The next day I come back, it's like a bomb went off.
It's like a creative little explosion. Yeah, like, personally, I live in a dorm room, so, like, I have all my beading supplies, like, wrapped up in, like, a tea towel set to the side.
Oh, my.
And I have my computer there, and then I push my computer back, and I pull out my tea towel, and I pull out, like, my little Tupperware tiny bag or box, and I open it up and pull all my stuff out.
Oh, my.
And then I'm done. I put it all back in the box and fold up the tea towel and push it to the side.
That's so nice and clean and,
in,
like,
theory.
No, like, I got, like, a giant desk. I have, like, all, I have to have every color of bead,
mm-hmm.
you know, like.
Oh, the matte, the clear, the crystals, the little, like,
pack.
Edgy ones.
And the different sizes, the size 11, size 15.
Oh, you do the different
the
sizes.
The Delicas, the Miyuki, the Czech, you know.
Do you work much with, like, natural materials? Like, have you ever, like, used, like, porcupine quills or anything?
Oh, yeah. I was gifted porcupine quills this past summer, and I've been working with those. And also dentaliums.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
So I've been learning about, you know, doing that. And what else? I have, like, this other friend. She'll go, like, to the beach and she'll find shells and she'll put that into her, like, caps in the center.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yo, that's actually kind of clever. Because, like, I personally am such a... I think it's pronounced abalone.
Abalone. Yeah,
abalone. I'm obsessed with abalone and earrings, like, studs and things. I recently got a pair of acrylic earrings from Copper Canoe Woman, I believe.
Oh.
And it says Honor the Treaties. And on the little stud part, there's abalone in them. And I'm just... in love.
Whoa.
I am obsessed with them.
Abalone is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, my sidetrack, okay?
Okay.
My mom, when she was really young, she went to Hawaii and she found this ginormous abalone shell on the beach there.
Oh, yeah?
And my regalia, when I was like 6 or 7, my mom actually went to, like, the Métis trading post there in Alberta. and she traded her abalone shell for my regalia when I was a kid.
Whoa.
And so, like, because abalone was so hard to get back in the day.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you can order it. But, like,
you can order it online and things. But, like, back in the day, it was, like, low-key restricted. And, like, indigenous people, folks were not allowed to go collect and harvest. And, like, ethical harvesting is questionable for non-indigenous folks in those scenarios.
True.
But, like, back in the day, like, having a huge shell, like, I know listeners can't see it, but, like, I'm imagining a football.
Well, the way my mom describes it, like...
It's a football. Yeah. Yo, that's kind of impressive, though.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Throughout the history of music, the most happiest chords have been in constant church by composers and musicians. Music reflects the emotions of human beings, and the pursuit for well-being is seen also in the arts of music. With today's modern technology, it's easy to separate different frequencies, which causes the feelings of happiness or the feelings of sorrow.
Fridays from 2 to 3:30 p.m., it's the Bepi Crespin Presents radio show.
It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format.
Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut-up collage, and general Crespin weirdness.
Bepi Crespin Presents, Fridays at 2 p.m. on CITR FM 101.9.
Streaming at player.citr.ca.
Hello, I'm Addy Wolf, and this is my new single, Mastery. You can go check the music video on my website, addywolf.com. That's addewolf.com. Bless.
Hey. Ooh, do you have any songs you want to play today?
Songs? I really like A Tribe Called Red.
Okay. Any specific song from A Tribe Called Red?
It was... like the, I don't know, like you see on TikTok sometimes, but mm-hmm. like it's a banger.
Because there's a couple I can think of. There's, because I'm also a big fan of Tribe Called Red. They actually changed their name in 2019 maybe to The Hallucination.
Oh. Yeah, I saw their, like, they had that album where mm-hmm. it was like from different nations.
Yeah.
That was. So
that was them coming up being like, we're not Tribe Called Red anymore, we are The Hallucination.
Yeah.
Also, the Tribe Called Red is so freaking, I wrote a whole paper on them last year talking about indigenous as a genre within music and how damn. It's so restrictive because in the Junos you have contemporary and traditional indigenous artists. And that's yeah. it.
And you can't be like,
can't be either or whatever. And damn. The Tribe Called Red always refused to be entered into the indigenous artists because they're like, we are not going to be restrained to these genres. Oh. Our music belongs in, like, this area with all these other creators from diverse backgrounds. Don't yeah. push us into a box by ourselves anymore.
Damn, I love that.
Yeah, it's kind of badass.
Yeah.
And they also won. So, like...
they're like, yeah.
Yeah!
vibe.
See, this one reminds me of being like in high school and like, like this was like the shit.
I just love like the intro and then it's just like, boom. Like your heart just like, I don't know.
Yo, hearing it like on surround sound, like on your headphones specifically, it's like, oh yeah.
Just,
oh
like, yeah. Go right into that.
It's like, I just want to start dancing.
How are you?
Back with you on Off the Hook Radio.
It's DJ Buddha Blaze. You know, Electric Powwow is going on tonight.
That's right, A Tribe Called Red. Are you going to check them out? Give me a call.
Let me know. Let's get into the latest from nation to nation.
This is Sisters.
Welcome back. You are tuned into Unseed Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Cleo, and I'm joined by Faith today, and we are talking about Indigenous artistry and social media. Before we get into anything else, Faith, can the listeners find you on the internet anywhere, like your beadwork?
Yes. So on TikTok and Instagram, I'm known as Métis Potato.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. And then on Facebook, I am Beadwork by Faith.
That is Métis Potato on TikTok and Instagram, and Beadwork by Faith, spelled F-A-I-T-H, on Facebook. So now we know social media is super powerful. For one, people, I hope no one's driving and listening to this, but people can be looking at your Beadwork right now, in the future, currently in their world, because, you know, time is not linear, and they can see what you've been up to. What inspires your designs? Like, where do you get, like, your... I'm going to make that.
I really like to do florals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Métis, we originally were called the beadwork or, like, the floral beadwork people. If you look at, like, old Métis, like, clothing, it's from, like, the mocks to your head is all beaded and mm-hmm. all florals. So I really try to do Métis florals and also make it more contemporary so you can wear it, you know, wear pins, mm-hmm. earrings. That's really all I really do right now. I'm trying to do medallion work, but I haven't really, you know.
I get you.
It's difficult, you know. I'm working up there.
Not only like bead the medallion itself, which is usually a big centerpiece, but you also to like typically do like the bead wrapping around cord to make it like around your neck.
Yeah.
Have you seen Reservation Dogs?
I have.
The medallion.
No.
That's all I'm imagining right now.
Facts.
That auntie, she knew it was up.
Oh my.
Like when you were like kind of getting into like posting about your beading, was there like any notable social media accounts you kind of like looked up to?
Oh, Brianne Days.
Brianne Days, yeah.
Yeah, I loved her. Like, the second I saw her work, like, I was obsessed. I would watch all her, like, YouTube videos, her TikToks that go into her lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, asked so many questions. I also like Mackenzie Cree Designs.
Oh, I'm familiar, yeah.
Yeah, she's really good. Yeah, definitely Brianne. I think she's, like, my biggest inspiration, you know?
Sweet. Have you guys ever, like, interacted online together?
She follows me on TikTok.
Oh, whoa. That makes, like, you famous by extension. When someone famous follows you, you are now famous.
Yeah.
I'm Where's your so check famous. Mark?
Facts.
Like, honestly, though.
It's like the master recognized the apprentice, you know?
Yeah, it's like, ah, you're doing good. It's like your spirit guide's like, No words, just
Oh my gosh. Love that.
And did you, because like we kind of talked about how you did some like beading circles at UBC, but with COVID and things, it got a little difficult. So online was kind of like your alternate space. Do you find there's like any big difference in your in person and online interactions, like with artists or like beading or even just like selling or?
Oh, I actually haven't sold on Marketplace, but. For, like, I don't know, for beading circles, I think it's relatively the same. Like, everyone is so enthusiastic about beading, and the conversations that come out are, you know, like, I can't really say, I can't pinpoint the exact mm-hmm. conversations, but I always say, like, it's healing. And we share parts of ourselves in that kind of way. And I've found that in, like, all spaces, either online or in person. Even when I'm doing live and someone's commenting, we're all talking about, like, some... you know, personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I vibe. I've never been personally into, like, the online beading. I do it, like, close with, like, one or two friends. Like, over the weekend, I actually FaceTime a friend, and she and I were both, like, swamped with schoolwork, and we're both, like, exhausted. We're like, hey, do you want to FaceTime and, like, get, like, those projects that we both know aren't done yet done? And so she finished a pair of earrings. I finished a card holder that I was actually fixing for a friend. And I took 6 months to get it to her. Shout out. You're welcome. You got it back now. But it's like, even just thinking about like beading with friends, like, and teaching each other different things. Like, I learned how to make fringe earrings this summer from the same friend I was on FaceTime with. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I haven't, like, beaded with someone else in the room in a while. Or, like, you know, actively engaged with someone while doing it. Because, like, in my house, we have a beading table, like, back home. Like, my grandma and mom, like, have, like, their sides of the table. And I'll, like, pop into one side that's free or whatever. And, like, beading together is always really soothing. But it's also just kind of, like, quiet family time.
Damn.
But once it's, like, with, like, people my age, it's, like, we are spilling the tea. We are getting into it.
You know, with my family, I have to say it's the opposite. We're loud.
Oh, yeah?
Because, like, maybe I don't see my mom as much or my aunties that much. So usually when we're being, we're going off each other. We're talking about our lives. Like, my mom especially, my mom's a very, very outgoing person. So you can't shut her up, you know? Like, she keeps going, so... Yeah, like, I actually did a live with my mom last weekend. Mm-hmm. And my mom was just beating with me and, like, being loud and everything. So, yeah, it's kind of funny.
Even just laughter is good medicine. Like, even if we're kind of having quiet family time while we're beating, we're always still laughing. And, like, we're still kind of joking or, like, my grandma kind of looks over and goes, oh, that's what you chose to do. And then my mom looks back like, what do you mean that's what I chose? What would you do? And my grandma's like, it's not my project. I'm not touching it. But it's, like, actually kind of adorable because when it comes to, like, Christmas, we'll make, like, itty-bitty little, like, mukluks to hang from, like, your car rearview mirror. And my grandma's getting arthritis in her hands, and so she can't do some of, like, the leather work. So that's when my mom and I come in, and we come in and we do the hard leather work for her so she can do the cute little rickrack gluing and beading part of it.
That sounds so awesome.
It's, like, so, like, just, like, zen.
Yeah.
Feels, like, so, like, there's so much connection going on and just so much, like, cooperation and understanding. Even if you're not speaking, you're still kind of, like, you're looking and you're paying attention.
Yeah. That sounds just amazing. You know, you're bonding with your family and bonding over culture, too. Like, beating is so amazing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
All, like, of these connections that you get from them, too. Like, I can't imagine not beating, okay?
Right? Like, even, like, when I think of, like, how gendered some artistry is, we all know, like, gender's fake.
Yeah.
It's very colonially constructed. It's very much used to divide and conquer, you know, the whole regime. But when you think of, like, what, like, some masculine people kind of lack is the exposure to, like, those artistic spaces of, like, beading and, like, the things that really teach you to be mindful and patient and, like, kind of sit there in the moment. I find those are really reserved and, like, kept in the home, which is so unfortunate because, like, they shouldn't be kept in the home. They should be allowed wherever they need to be. Before we started recording, Faith and I were talking about beading in classrooms and how cool and how, like, much more we could actually pay attention if we could do that. To a degree. Until you took the very end, you get excited and you're doing, like, the fringe and you're like, But, like, I miss Zoom classes just because I could bead it at my computer.
Oh,
and funny. I actually paid attention, I found, and I actually retained some of the conversation. I was able to jump in the same way in a beading circle. You listen to, like, the five people around you and you jump in when you have an idea or an opinion.
Yeah.
And, like, your opinion, your voice is actually accepted and there's room made for you until you're like, okay, I'm going to check back out and go back to my work now. I'll jump in 5 minutes.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Yeah.
Do you think that our grandparents ever imagined that we'd be on our phones looking at beadwork?
Probably not.
Especially, like, to the extent that we do now. Because from the sounds of it, we're both on, like, the social media, like, decolonize hashtag indigenous train.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh, I don't know.
See, I kind of love that, like, instead of just seeing, like, artwork in museums, I see it in, like, the Lower Nest today. With, like, there's indigenous vendors going on in UBC today, and they're selling, like, beadwork and cotton candy and what have you. But, like, just even seeing it there and seeing people purchase them, and I know in a couple of weeks I'm going to see people walking around with beaded earrings, and that is just, like, such a breath of fresh air when it's, like, I could go to a museum and see some beautiful, like, 150, 200-year-old beadwork, but I can also go around and see, like, something that someone just got, and they're wearing it with pride, and it's being used the way it's intended.
Yeah. Well, I have, like, a love-hate relationship with museums. Because, like, at the same time, I wish that we could go in and, like, touch it and, like, like you said earlier, being able to have that access. Because I understand why it's needed, but at the same time, like, we want to learn the techniques of, like, our ancestors and see what they beaded. But, yeah, like, went dark a little bit.
No, but sometimes it has to, right? Like, sometimes you got to be thinking about that and be like, wow, like, it's kind of a bummer. But also on the other side of things, we have the joy of some museums and archives are opening up and letting elders and community members in to come actually, like, interact with the pieces more, more intimately. And not only that, they also are learning how to preserve it in the way that the museum intends to preserve it. Because, you know, we hate the extractivist way that archaeologists and et cetera have gone about doing things and, like, preserving the cultures they have seen around them. But they're there, so now we might as well use them, and we might as well tell the museums to chill out a bit and let us have access to our ancestors' handiwork the way that they should be, because if it wasn't in a museum, I'd assume it'd be in someone's house, either on the wall or in a chest or somewhere that they can access it.
That's true. You know, I went to a museum this summer in Edmonton, and one thing that really inspired me that I didn't even think about for beadwork was guitar straps that are beaded.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw this, like, Métis guitar strap from the 1900s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, it was...
It's a hot minute ago.
And I was just looking at it, like, it was so beautiful. And I just, I guess, gained that inspiration and pulling that into your everyday life. Like, that is my next project. I am doing a beaded guitar
strap. Oh, yeah. I wish you luck, because they are kind of, like, they're kind of long and hefty.
But they're, like, I just imagine, like, the floral and then the stems just going down and different, like, budding florals.
And the way that, like, it sits over the shoulder, too, you can, like, make sure there's something here so when it comes down your back and back. Oh, yeah. I see where you're going with this. I get you. Like, in even thinking of, like, the artwork and, like, the beadwork I see up north in my culture is a lot of it was, like, utilitarian. Like, you can use it. And it was, like, you're embellishing something you use. So not only was it, like, clothing and moccasins, but also, like, gun cases and, like, dog blankets and things like that. And you're like, wow, this is kind of bougie. But, like, thinking of a gun case, like, they're huge. And, like, a lot of them are typically made of, like, moose hide. And they were beaded directly onto the moose hide. Like, I think one of my relatives had one in my house at one point, and I was, like, amazed. Like, the flowers were bigger than my palm. Wow. That's how big they were, like, by the butt of the gun. And they just got, like, bigger, and they got smaller, and the vines went up all the way to the tip.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and you know, like, it's not needed, but it's wanted. You know, aesthetics, that's part of culture, and that's a part of, like, enjoying life.
Yeah.
Just being like, yeah. It's a little bougie. I'm a bougie native. What can I say?
No, it's totally fair. Damn. That's kind of like the Métis. We had the horse strap. Like, if you... Anyways, yeah. Sorry, I could go on about that. So, it's really cool. They're, like, at the museum, you'll see it's completely beaded. And, yeah.
Oh, no, like, pop off, honestly. Like, I absolutely love talking about artwork and, like, Indigenous artwork. The contemporary side, I'm a lot more familiar with, but, like, the traditional, like, historic side, I find so fascinating. I think it's a shame, though, we don't have as much documentation for, like, pre-contact. Because, you know, there's a lot of influence came in. And, you know, some folks like to argue validity of Indigenous artwork based on, like, how traditionally it was made and created and the materials used. But I'm sitting here and I'm like, the guitar and the fiddle are traditional Indigenous instruments now. And those came with contact because, I don't know about you, but my people were not, didn't have time to make a fiddle. They were doing other things.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that contributes to Indigenous erasure. And, like, you have to be tradish to be native, and that's it. And, you know, there's more to it. We're still here. We're living in a contemporary world.
Right?
Like, we're doing a podcast, like, you know?
Like, we're literally sitting in a booth on a university campus talking about Indigenous artwork as, like, two people that are Indigenous practicing artwork in different ways. We're thriving.
Yeah.
And honestly, one day we're going to be the ancestors that our descendants look up to and be like, they were Indigibaddies. And they held on to the teachings and they set the path for me to be here. Just the same way that our grandparents have done for us, right?
That's true.
It's all full circle reciprocity.
Yes.
Well, this has been a very wonderful conversation, Faith. Thank you so much for coming on Unseated Airways. I've appreciated every minute. I've had so much fun laughing with you, and I hope that if you ever feel like it, you can come back, hang out on the airwaves maybe.
Hey.
Maybe talk more about artistry and maybe some up-and-coming topics that might happen in the world.
Hey, thank you for having me, too, you know?
Yeah, you got any last thoughts to the listeners before we end off?
Buy Indigenous beadwork. Be proud of your culture and, you know, represent, you know? You don't have to be going to, like, traditional spaces. You wear your beadwork on the bus anywhere you want, you know? Bead your Converse.
Ooh.
Bead your, like, your jackets, you know? Like, be proud.
It's alive. Megamall's debut EP, Escape from Lizard City, goes live on Friday, July 1st. Buy the cassette and lyric book on Bandcamp or stream wherever you listen to music. For the last 2.5 years, you could avoid everyone except yourself. Welcome to Lizard City. Oh, I see the
years from now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes on reservations. Your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. We will sell our bracelets by the roadsides. You will play golf and enjoy hot hors d'oeuvres. My people will have pain and degradation. Your people will have stick shifts. The gods of my tribe have spoken. They have said, do not trust the pilgrims. And for all these reasons, I've decided to scalp you and burn your village to the ground.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
Mind. I wish I was numb.
Cold open. Mm-hmm. Dude, so this morning I had the best morning. I went to the clinic because of my ear. I was super muffled, my hearing. I couldn't hear anything out of my right ear pretty much. So I went to the clinic. I was like, something's wrong with it. And they're like, yo, it's filled with wax, dog. So they cleaned it out and I can hear like 3 decibels higher. I cleaned both my ears and like the biggest fucking chunk of wax came out. It was disgusting, dude.
What did it feel like when it came out?
So fucking satisfying.